How the vacation going, man?
Man, it's going great, man. The kids just left out the room, man. About to go down to the beach. So, man, it's good, man. The weather's great. Fam, having a good time.
Say, can't complain about the weather.
At all.
Yeah, man, we're back. Another episode of Man to Man Pod. I believe this is episode 107.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I believe already, man. We started, July of last year. Already at 100. Let me make sure my shit's on point. Boom, 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 boom. Yep, good money. But yeah, man.
What's good, man? How you doing? How your day going? Good morning.
Man, can't complain, man. Can't complain. Good day. Been a productive week so far. You know, getting to it, man. Getting to it. Head down, working all gas, no breaks. I know you on vacay with the family. So your day got to be going good, man. Everything good on your end?
Yeah, man. Everything good, you know. Being able to take some time out and just to relax and chill. Mm-hmm. You know, let's take a break for a little bit. So, all is well.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. But we're going to jump in this thing, man. But we're not going to start with football today. Actually, basketball on that court. You know, the NBA. KD is back, obviously, which is huge for the NBA, especially with LeBron, LaMelo, and other guys. I feel like a lot of guys are banged up right now, probably after that short break, AD. But KD back, man. Look damn good last night too. Yeah. I don't think he missed a shot. I think it was 5 for 5, 17 points. Nets look good. Kyrie looked good, obviously, against the Pelicans. What's your thoughts on the Nets, man? With the Lakers still banged up, still think are they your favorites? Lakers the favorite? Who you like?
I like the Lakers, man. I still like the Lakers. Like you said, obviously with KD coming back, he looked good last night. I caught a little bit of the game. Kyrie looked good. James Harden was out. Obviously, you know, with them adding LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. Say it again.
Now I said LaMarcus Aldridge looked good too.
Nah, he did. But again, you know, we've yet to see all of them on the floor at one time. You know, as you mentioned, the Lakers are banged up, LeBron being out, Anthony Davis being out. So again, you know, it's still, you know, you got to get into that groove, especially going into the playoffs. I think the Brooklyn Nets, in my opinion, are the favorites to come out the East. I have the Lakers coming out the West, even though we still have some teams that's playing some football in the West, Jazz, the Phoenix Suns. But it's tough. I'm just going with the Lakers since I've been rocking with them, you know, since the beginning of the season, since last season. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
That's my pick.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's obviously not a bad pick. The boys been out, man, banged up. I've been with the Lakers this whole ride, but I may be shifting over, man. If KD can get out there and stay healthy, Harden, I think he'll be fine. I think he just got a hammy, a little tweaked hammy. But Harden is usually pretty durable. If you got Kyrie, if you got them three, and then you bring over Aldridge and Blake, they're looking decent to good. Harris, Green, now they got depth. Jordan, they got depth to that was the thing for me. They didn't have a bunch of depth, but now that they have that, and if they played their big three, only played what, 7 games together so far. They are hoopers, man. If they out there healthy, both rosters are healthy, I may be shifting over to the Nets, man. Tone jumped in and said Bucks are the sleepers. I wouldn't go that far. I'm not gonna fall for that route this year. They did lock up Drew Holiday. Yeah. He got a bad.
Well deserved. I don't think they talk about him enough, just as far as what he's able to do on both ends of the court. Offensively, and then, you know, I think, you know, very important on the defensive end. You know what I mean? What he's able to do, you know, lock up some of the, I ain't gonna say lock up, but, you know, defend real tough. But,
yeah.
It well deserved him being able to get that bag.
Yeah, when you hear a lot of hoopers speak on who's that guy that's underrated, that's not talked about enough, especially one of the most dynamic positions in the league, Jrue Holiday name comes up a lot. So Woody's Herb Bag, like you said, I think it was 4 for 160 or something like that. So they're big three now out in Milwaukee is Jrue Holiday, Khris Middleton, and obviously Greek Freak. You know, they added PJ Tucker, who balls on the defensive side as well, spot up shooter kind of from the corner. But do you see that big three out in Milwaukee ever sniffing the title?
No. Because I just, if you look at the team that they're gonna have to get through the, you know what I'm saying, get out of the East, KD, Kyrie, James Harden. I don't see
it's it. Tough.
It's tough. I don't see it. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it where, again, as you previously just mentioned, if you could get them on the court together, all healthy, that's going to be tough. In a seven-game series, I don't see them beating the Nets in a seven-game series.
That's going to be real tough. Now, coming into this year, I feel like the NBA coming into the year, you kind of, most of the times, we already have like our Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals kind of already lined up in our head. This year has obviously been a little different. Who's been, you know, you expect the Nets to be good, expect the Sixers, Bucks. Who's been the most surprising team for you this year on the West Coast and on the Eastern Conference?
I would say West Coast, it would definitely be the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion. Them getting Chris Paul, I think it was a big plus for them. And I think we've, over the past 2 or 3 years, we've seen what Chris Paul can do for a team. You know, even going out to OKC, you know, I don't think people really expected what OKC gave to the people, you know what I'm saying, when Chris Paul got there.
Yeah.
And then again, you know, him signing to the Phoenix Suns, and they're number two in the West right now.
That's impressive.
Then you can rewind back to last year in the bubble. Shit, Phoenix Suns, they was playing lights out in the bubble.
Yeah, I think that was undefeated in the bubble.
To be able to ask
to the end.
Yeah, so to be able to ask somebody like Chris Paul, man, that's my sleeper in the West. The Phoenix Suns, and then in the East, I'll go with the Knicks. The Knicks, man, they've been playing some solid ball, some respectable ball. And, you know,
they're a young team.
So,
yeah, they're in the offs right now.
Yeah, bring it there, rolls over.
Yeah, I probably, you know, in the Western Conference, it's the Jazz. You know, the Jazz, obviously, you know, they're a good team, had a good core. But I feel like Donovan Mitchell, I wouldn't say he's taking a step back, but No, I'm not saying a step back as far as his play, but I'm saying a step back as far as like, okay, I don't have to be that guy who got to go out here and drop, you know, 30 a night, you know, more. Yeah. They're very, very team. Like everybody touched the rock, very team oriented over there, and it's obviously paying off. They're number one in the West. So that's obviously surprising. You know, I expected, you know, the Clippers, especially with the Lakers being banged up, to be up there. And then Suns, I'm not shocked about the Suns. You know, once CP3 went over there and got with Ayton and got with Booker, time to create their big three. And their coaches, like you said, had them cooking with gas in the bubble last year. So I expect to add to that leadership that they will be at least in the fourth spot, is what I said, coming into the year. And they're up there at two. In the East, the Hawks, you know, the Hawks have been playing a lot better since Nate McMillan took over. And they are either 4 or 5 in the Eastern Conference. And that's surprising to me. I didn't expect them to be at that. I'm surprised with the Knicks as well. Happily surprised with them. I think the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. But yeah, on that East Coast, the Hawks, man, they came out and hit 11 for 11 and a quarter, two with threes. Things set a record. So, yeah, man, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, the other side of it, most disappointed in the Celtics, man. We talked about them earlier on the show. Coming into the year, I feel like Celtics always high expectations for their basketball program if they got good players, which they do. Very disappointed. I believe they are like 7-8 right now in the East. And that's
you know, think it's time to break that up.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. And we spoke on it, like I said earlier in the during the year. I think if they trick it off again, like I don't see them going past the second round this year. I think you break that up, man. I think Brad Stevens got to be out of there, in my opinion. You got Kimba, you got Jaylen Brown, you got Jason Tatum. Like, there's no way you should be 7-8, hovering around 500 at this point in the season with that type of talent team. You got the Hornets up there.
I agree. And again, like you said, I don't think they get past the second round this year.
Yeah. You got to do something. You know, we got limited patience.
So,
limited patience these days.
Got to.
Easily.
So who's your surprise? Your disappointment in the West?
In the West, I'm disappointed with the Trailblazers, but it's more so because McCullum been out. He was out for a while. He's back now, but Dame put it on his back. But I wanted to kind of see them take that step. And obviously, the Lakers, with them being banged up with injuries again. So it's injuries over there. But, I want to see, because it's going to be tough for them Lakers. They get in the playoffs and they're 4 or 5 seed. It's going to be tougher for, AD banged up, older LeBron. Now you got to go through, the Nuggets. It's a lot of good teams on that West side. So you're going to get matched up with those guys in earlier rounds. That makes it tough for a run. So I'm disappointed with those. With those two squads, what about you?
Again, the Lakers, but that's injuries. I would like to see more out of the Mavs too, man. I would like to see more out of the Mavs. Not saying that they should be at the one or two, but with the talent they have over there, Luka, Porzingis, I would like to see more out of that group.
Expect Luka to lead them to a better. Somebody said the Celtics, the bubble broken. NBA it's gonna shape up for some good playoffs once again. I feel like the playoffs are always very enjoyable. With the NBA, we got baseball going on. We got the Masters going on in golf. I know you're not a big fan of the golf thing.
Who you got in the Masters? Well, yeah. I'm not. I can't sit down and watch the golf. You tapped into that yet? You
sat down and watch it? Not yet. Not yet. Nah. If it's on TV, I won't turn it off. I won't change the channel. But honestly, I'm a casual with the golfing, so if it ain't Tiger out there, I think Rory's back out there, Dustin. If I catch it on, I won't turn it off, but, it ain't something I got to catch.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what I mean? I ain't like it,
Absolutely. Like that.
But what else we got going on? Oh, while we're talking about New York Knicks and all that, New York. So New York is actually legalizing online gambling now, which is obviously a huge market. In a huge space, everybody's, if you cover in sports, you have something dedicated to, placing bets, the odds, all that sports betting stuff. Do you see yourself getting more into that lane next year? I know I tapped into it this year during the football
season. I do, because it's funny. Off the script, I got a lot of guys back home that, that bet a lot. And they always ask, yo, Twan, who you think here? Obviously the odds, what I'm saying? This, that, and the third. And I give them my opinion. And I done made a lot of money. So I'm like, if I could just tap in for myself,
Yeah.
Just get more into it. So I definitely do think I'm going to tap into it more this year. It's about to be a big business. Obviously, like you said, New York. Legalized, and I think it's going to be a lot more other states that's going to be following them as well. So I'm definitely going to tap into that this year.
Yeah, man. If you don't, shit, it's You just missing out on opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you said, you tap in. Obviously, we got a different viewpoint, different perspective. You know, I converse with a lot of people who, you know, are handicappers and do certain things with the, you know, the analytics of it. It's obviously, it's a lot of data and computer behind it. But when you can combine that with, especially when you're talking about football and
other knowledge
so much. Yeah, with the knowledge. Okay, how does this certain team or these certain players match up with this other team's best players or scheme?
Match up.
Yeah. Things that, you know, obviously nobody can just, you can't look at a group of data and get to that. So that's our advantage with that. I was pretty good, pretty successful last year with it. And so definitely going to get into it more. I can't really get into, and I was exceptional.
You lied.
I was exceptional. Check the record, man. I'm going to have to repost it to remind folks, man. But
Tone, man, get the put the records up there in the chat, Tone. Let's go post the records.
Against gamblers only care about against the spread though, man. You weren't picking against the spread. That don't count, man. You know what I mean? That's money line. You know, that's picking winners. You got, you know, the it count what?
Winners and losers. That's life. Winners and
if you can bet against that spread, that's where you really, you know what I mean? That's where you really a full blown degenerate. But nah. I'm rocking with it. I enjoy it. So check this out. If you had to place a bet, with this draft coming up, okay, we're hearing a lot of talk about Justin Fields dropping down, being the third, fourth, fifth quarterback out of top five. If you had to bet, who gets drafted first, Justin Fields or Mac Jones? If you had to place a bet right now.
Justin Fields.
You say he gets drafted first.
Yeah.
Oh, before, out of the two.
Before Mac, out of the two,
All right, I think a
lot of times around, you know, it's no experts, right? You might got, you know, I don't care what they say, experts.
Oh, no, it's plenty of experts, especially today.
Right.
Unlimited experts.
As we've seen in the draft process before us, during our time, and obviously after us, I think around this time, you know, things start leaking, but leaking for certain reasons. You know what I'm saying? Where teams are trying to play mind games. It's like, you know, might be leaking some wrong information on purpose. Just so, you know, maybe potential teams might go a different route. But I don't understand within a month's time how a guy could be the second best quarterback, you know what I'm saying, in the draft.
Yeah.
And no game has been played. All it's been is pro days. The pro day was good. And then all of a sudden, my man is the fifth best quarterback in the draft. So I just think a lot of times it's just mental games, mental gymnastics that people are trying to play with, you know, organizations trying to play with one another. But I have Justin Fields going before Mac Jones.
Yeah, same for me. I feel like that's going to be, when we look back on it, it'll be a lot of hype. Mac Jones, I could see him going probably in the top half of the first round, but I don't see Justin Fields being going past the third quarterback taken. I think it's going to go 1-2-3, maybe even 1-2-3-4 quarterbacks off the board, but it's nowhere in hell. I'm not believing that until Roger Goodell get up there and read that card. And then if he does that,
yeah,
you know, I'll stay corrected, but right now, nah, I'm not buying that at all.
We touched on it last episode. Like, give me your top five again. Your top five quarterbacks. We touched on it briefly.
Yeah, top five. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to you quick. Trevor Lawrence, one. Yep. Justin Fields, two. Zach Wilson, three. I go Mac Jones, four. Trey Lance / Kyle Trask, five. And the only reason, I haven't seen enough of Trey Lance. You know, I know you don't, you, the level of competition, you know, I factor that in as well. That'd be my five, you know, five A, 5B down there. What about you? What's your top five? That's how I think they should come off the board, too. We all know it.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you with your five. Trey Lance, man, they got him. I was watching something. They compared him to his playability, his play style to a HBCU legend. God rest his soul, Steve McNair.
Air McNair.
Yeah. Like that's I hate when people do that, you know what I'm saying? The comparison.
I mean, they comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady.
Why put that pressure on them young boys like that, man? Like, but you know, that's something that I guess you gotta do. But
yeah,
I'll put you in the top five.
Yeah, and like once that draft day come, who knows what's happening? We done had plenty of interviews, plenty of guys on here who have everybody got their own draft stories. This team said it was going to take me, this happened. Somebody traded out of that pick, that happened. Like, so things are always going to happen on draft day. It's going to shake it all up. We know shit, probably half of the quarterbacks won't pan out. Unfortunately, that's just how it usually goes. A lot of it is based off where they land. Yeah. A lot of it's going to be based off where you go, who's around you, who's coaching, what players, you know, how can you mentally, you know, handle, pick things up on and off the field. So it's a lot that goes into it. But those would be my five guys, you know, based off what I've seen them do on the college level. Now, Justin Fields, I watched him and Mac Jones' pro day on the same day, actually. Mac Jones went first, then I watched Justin Fields. And there was a clear difference to me. Justin Fields looked better. But that same day, you know, the 49ers, their brass went down to Mac Jones in Alabama and watched his pro day. So they had, like, the third guy in charge at Justin Fields. So now Justin Fields is having the second pro day.
Yeah.
Reported that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be at this one. You think that was a good move by him?
Yeah, because you know, if I'm Justin Fields, that's the system I want to go in. That's the system I want to play in. With his ability, what he's able to do, with his arm and his legs, and you know, with Kyle Shanahan being a play caller that he is, and just the talent that they have on that offensive side of the ball. That's a scheme I would love to play in if I'm a quarterback, if I'm Justin Fields. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah. I think it was big. Sure. I don't think they'll have him do anything too crazy. Mm-hmm. Just kind of wanted to maybe, you know, polish up on what they've seen. You know, what they've seen through film study from his first pro day. So for them to be like, look, we want to see something else. Shit, go out there and bet on yourself.
Yeah, big facts. Was Shanahan the coach when you were there? Was he already the guy?
Nah. So I left when he got hired. That's when I left. That's when I got out of there.
Okay. So
I have the utmost respect for John Lynch, just the way he handled the situation. You know what I'm saying? Being there, calling me in the office, and we had like a 2-hour talk. So I'll always have great things to say about John Lynch, just the way he handled my situation.
Yeah, that's definitely important. Now, it's been reported that Kyle Shanahan has the final say. So when it comes to, you know, calling those shots, who they're going to draft at three, especially. It's different on every team. Obviously, some coaches call the shots. I think John Gruden called the shots in Las Vegas. And obviously, I think it's the same in San Fran. Have you ever been a part of a situation where you saw, like, bumping heads at that, you know, head coaching, general manager spot?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, my first year going into when I was in San Fran, Trent Baalke and Harbaugh. That's what it, you know, that's kind of what it was. That's what the, you know, obviously me just walking into that situation. But, you know, the all around the facility and just, you know, just the bickering, it was really like, okay, some with Harbaugh, some with Trent Baalke, man. And at the end of the day, again, sometimes, as you just stated, where a young player, hold on real quick. You hear that?
Yeah. Hey, you good.
But just like how you stated, as a young player, if you're coming into that situation, sometimes that could be to your detriment. You know what I'm saying? Where the front office is not seeing eye to eye. You know, well, okay, I want to draft this guy. Well, now I want to draft this guy. You know what I'm saying? So, that's tough. But if you can have a front office that's seeing eye to eye, that's standing firm, 10 toes down on the same decision, I think that just makes it better from the top all the way down.
Yeah, for sure. I think we saw it was some of that. I know Dwayne Haskins coming in, it was reports that, you know, certain guys want him, certain guys don't. Some owners jump in, and obviously it's their team at the end of the day. So if the owners say, hey, I want that guy, then that trumps all. Yeah. Obviously, you know, I experienced it in Indy. You know, I was there for 6 years, you know, with Chuck, five of them with Chuck and Grigson. They had their fair share of bumping heads. And it's something that, you know, when you're in that locker room, you know, you're in that facility, you know, it's a lot of, you know, type A personalities, it's a lot of alpha males. So it's going to be some ego checks. And, you know, the locker room, the team, the organization can kind of feel when there's not that synergy at the top. And it can definitely throw everything off. I think it's a big reason why New England was so successful for so long, because you had one guy who basically wore both hats. You can look at his draft record. So he wasn't the greatest drafting guy, but he knew how to maneuver certain things, knew how to coach the guys he was bringing in or letting go. You know, Baltimore obviously having Ossie Newsom and Harbaugh for the time they had. So you have different – it works. And it seems to be working so far in San Fran with John Lynch and Shanahan and what they have going on. Mayock and Gruden, I thought it would work. You know, that's kind of looking a little suspect right now in the light, but we'll see. But it's going to be interesting. It's looking shaky right now. But I think when they go down to see Justin Fields live, and one of the biggest differences that's aside from football that I saw with Mac Jones and Justin Fields, and I think Mac Jones is a good player. Go in the right system, he'll be a good player. But one thing I saw just watching him, because I'm watching the program, I'm watching everything, like I'm, you know, a general manager. And, you know, everybody, you're going to be yourself. You're going to have your own personality, especially as a quarterback. That's important. We talked to Tyrod Taylor about that. Yep. Mac Jones was just like, he was too giddy for me, bro. He was too, like, smiley and too – it just looked – I don't know. And I know that may be his personality, but when I watched Justin Fields, you know, it was focused. It was, you know, laser. It was this, that, and the third. And I know if I'm a veteran player, especially young guy coming in that locker room, like, you immediately a leader of men. Like, and when you in there, it's big business. Like, it's you know, every day. So if you come – I'm looking for, even from the personality type thing, which guy would I now – however much you stock you put in those type of things, depends on who's calling those shots. But for me, hey, I want you to show up. Hey, it's business. You know what I mean? Obviously, how you lead is how you lead. But that was something that kind of – I don't know. But I'm looking forward to this second pro day. Hopefully, it's filmed. And I think once they see that, Jay Fields not dropping past three. In my opinion,
I don't think nobody be wasting nobody time for a second pro day just cause. That's for a reason.
Did you have any teams during your pre-draft process? Did you have any teams, I guess, reach out to you and say, hey, we want to see this or that, or like a pop up workout or something like that? Because I had some things like that.
Yeah, I had like After the combine, I had my pro day. I had some teams out there watching them workouts. And then after my pro day, I had maybe like three or four personal workouts. Seattle Seahawks, the Cleveland Browns. Might have been one or two more where I had, like, they came up to campus and I had personal workouts. So,
yeah. Okay, yeah, I had the same. I know the Falcons, I did. And the rule, I don't know if the rules have changed, but at that time, you either had to do the personal work or the private workouts either at your school or like in your hometown. So we had one team, the Falcons, they flew everybody up. You know, I think the head coach Mike Smith and DB, D coordinator, all that type of stuff. They came to UConn, did a private workout, and I did it with another team. I can't remember the other team. But that's definitely – I don't know. You couldn't tell me shit. And I was like, oh, I'm big time, boy. Y'all done flew like just for me. I'm about to put on the show.
Yes, sir.
Obviously it's some pressure to it. It wasn't pressure at that point, just because, you know, you're trying to do everything possible to position yourself to go as high as possible in that draft. And the Jaguars, too. So the Jaguars were picking 8. Mm-hmm. And I avoided, I finessed my way out of bench pressing at the combine.
Right.
And I did the same thing at the pro day.
I mean, you
said that once before. How many times do you think you would have how many times do you think you would have got?
Honestly,
at least 5?
I would have got 5. I wouldn't have. 7? I would not have. I wouldn't got. I don't think I would have cracked 10. And just because pro days, I mean, not pro days, but bench press was never my thing. You know, long arms. Like, it was never my thing. I was a dumbbell guy. And then what made it worse, I went to go train pre-draft with Deion Sanders. And he wasn't, obviously, that not on my head about the damn bench press. He like, man, receiver ain't never laid across my chest, but
right.
But the Jaguars. So they, so my head coach at college, Randy Essel, he was previously a DB coach for the Jaguars, so he had some relationships there. He calls me. I'm fried actually. I'm in Connecticut at I think Mohegan Sun. He called me like, hey man, somebody from the front office, Jack, they want to work you out. They want to see you bench press. They want to make sure you're not hiding an injury. So I'm like, shoot, all right, you know. So he's like, where you at? So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm down here in Florida. I'm training. So I'm like, so he's like, all right, bet. You know, they're going to meet you at your training spot tomorrow. You're going to go in there. They sent a scout down there for me to go bench. I had to fly in, came in. I think I put up 7. And they had the 8th pick.
Okay.
So I'm thinking like, oh, man, you know, I can't, like, not do this. Like, this team picking 8. I can't not, you know, continue. It ain't that serious, you know, yeah. If I put up. He's like, you know them. He's like, hey, you don't care how many reps you do. You know, they just want to see that you're healthy, that your shoulders are good, that you're not hiding any injuries, whatever, whatever. So that was the only team, the Jaguars, finally got a bench out of me. I think it was probably a 7-piece, I think. But yeah.
7-piece?
That was bad. That was bad. I had cats throwing up. I think Tay put up like 20-something. Yeah, I see. I ain't about to get up here with these dudes, man. If y'all ain't got a number, y'all just got to guess.
Yeah, that bet.
What you did coming out?
Man, so shoot, while we on this, I banged out 19. I had 19. Banged out 19.
Okay. All right, 19.
Yeah, it was solid.
What you said then?
But now, I know we were talking about it previously. They talking about one of the rule changes. They're going to loosen up on the number restriction. You know, DBs, receivers, running backs could tap into it. Maybe even some tight ends could tap into these single-digit numbers. Mm-hmm. How you think that's going to be if this rule does get passed?
You know, when I first heard it, I thought it was dope. But then when I thought about it, I don't like it. I don't like it, honestly. You know, growing up, I don't know, maybe I'm just old school. Like, that was just something you did in high school, you know, little league, high school, college.
Yeah.
You went to the pros. It was like, you know, you do things differently. You do it like pros. So I don't know, man. It's going to be weird seeing cats out there. It's definitely going to be swaggy. I know if I was a player, you know, I know if I had a chance on the pro level to throw that deuce on or that one on, I mean, honestly, you know, I'll probably be acting totally different out there. I ain't gonna lie to you. So I'm sure there's a lot of players excited about it. What you think about it?
Nah, I think I'm with you. I'm 50-50. Like, when I first heard it, I was all for it. I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't know why they didn't have that all along. But then I just happened to look at some. You know, they cropped some numbers on some guys in the high school numbers that, you know, that was single digit. And I saw it and I was like, I don't know.
But
to your point, if I was in that Indy, blue and white, with that number 2 on, back there in the
post. Hey.
Yeah, I'm acting different.
I'm jumping everything.
I'm jumping everything.
I saw something, man.
I'm acting different.
It's gonna be Yeah, it's gonna be hard though. It'll be dope, but yeah, I'm split though. I'm split. I like the old numbers, man. You know, you get to the league, got to pick a number. You know, we would have never got AB 41, man. You know what I mean? You had to go get that stank 41 and make it clean. You know what I mean? Would have never had that. It's probably kids out here wearing. Yeah, you know what I mean? Probably kids out here wearing 41 now because of that. So I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll see. It's gonna be some fights. Hey, it's gonna be some fights over them numbers, though, boy. What matter of fact, what's your favorite?
It's gonna be tough.
That's easy for you, Deuce. That's your favorite, I would assume. Football numbers. Give me your top three football numbers.
My top three football numbers. One.
Number one, okay.
Two. I'm gonna give you four. Okay. I'm gonna give you four numbers. One, two, the number four, and the number 11. I don't know, for some reason, that 11, them 11s be looking all right.
Yeah, see, I think about all the way back to Little League, man, or high school. Like, you saw certain cats and certain numbers, you knew, all right, that's one of their dogs. And for me, one, yep. Two. I wore two in high school, wore one in college. Seven always been hard for me. And then 21, you know, prime made 21. Like that was so old. Whenever you saw those numbers on the field, you know, and I 4, 9. It's been some different numbers that came across, but 1, 2, 7, 21. Those I would say the best football numbers. In my opinion, but that's gonna be interesting, man, to see that on the NFL.
It will.
If they will.
I know the young guys excited about it now. So we'll definitely see.
Yeah, we're gonna see, man. What else we got? Hold on. I saw a question. Somebody said Mike had a good question. All right, boom. Michael Ward. Y'all can start dropping some questions in too. Michael Ward, do you guys feel any quarterback in the draft is better than Herbert? He wasn't highly touted and had question marks on accuracy. He came in and crushed. In this draft, I mean,
man, what Herbert did last year, I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that because we've seen him do it on the NFL level, so it's hard to it's hard to unsee that. You know, because everybody, and you can talk to anybody, you know, it's a lot of experts on here that'll tell you Trevor Lawrence is a can't miss, Zach Wilson is can't miss, blah, blah. Myself and Antoine have seen plenty of can't miss prospects come to the league and shit down their leg. So you can't put any of these guys over Herbert. But Herbert was highly touted. For a while, Herbert was looked at as the number one pick. His talent was never questioned. His question was about, I believe, like leadership. You know, if he was a vocal leader, and then accuracy, things like that. But he was definitely a highly touted recruit. And another thing about Herbert is Herbert had great coaching. Pep Hamilton, we talked about Pep on the show before. You look at his track record when it comes to work with quarterbacks. I was playing on the team with him. And then you also had great weapons that were available to Herbert from day one. Keenan Allen, great safety blanket. Hunter Henry when he was healthy. Mike Williams. You got dogs around him, so you put him in a situation to be successful. Now, Herbert, what he did was phenomenal. Probably the best rookie season I've seen from a quarterback, honestly. And I've seen some Cam when he did his. Then I was with Luck the next year when he had his rookie year. So I've seen some great rookie years. Yep. But Herbert's right up there at the top, in my opinion.
Yeah, no question. I'm with you. Put that question up there on from Mary Beth Girth.
Mary Beth Girth, bum.
Not really a draft question, but where and how can a team improve on a special team? When to look for a new punter? Special teams. I know it's three phases to the game. You got your offense, defense, and special teams. And your special teams is where you find those guys that's on the roster that's willing to make the team. A lot of guys make the team just because of special teams. So again, y'all, it's all about you doing your due diligence, critiquing play. Where can this guy help us at? Is he a gunner? Can he get down there and force a fair catch every time? Again, a punter. Like, can he change the field position for us? Like, so it's ways where you can critique and you can implement those type of players on your team that can have major impact. You look at, in New England, Slater. Yeah,
Slater.
Like,
Slater.
He's a beast, but he's a beast on special teams, and he creates. He's the difference. He's the difference maker on that side of the ball. When I think about young Buda Baker, before he was starting and being an All Pro, sure, he made the Pro Bowl on special teams, being a gunner, going down there, leading teams in tackles. So when you're doing your due diligence and when you critiquing. Your players, you always gotta have that in the back of your mind. Not only they not gonna be starting on offensive defense, and even if you are starting, like, how can you help us in this other phase of the game?
Yeah, like I can remember Legion of Boom, like when they were Legion of Boom, Seattle had them dogs out there. Them cats played on special teams too. They took pride. You had Sherm, he was a one man vice. On the punt return team, and once a vice is basically is two defenders, guard one gunner. But if you have the luxury of being able to say, all right, I'm gonna put Sherm on one side and you're by yourself, and I can put these two on somebody else, and then I can put maybe somebody else in the punt rush part of the phase, that changes your whole special teams game plan. They did the same thing on, I believe, got Earl Thomas and Cam, all them boys on kickoff. So that's like first play of defense. So special teams important. Obviously, a lot of times special teams relate directly to the depth on your team, like the quality of depth on your team. You got a backup, good backup safeties, good backup linebackers. Those are usually the guys that make, DBs, linebackers make up a large portion of the special teams. But it's important, like you said, third phase of the game. And it's really about a lot of the game comes down to field position. You know what I mean? You want your offense to play half court as much as possible. You want your defense to play full court defense as much as possible, because just the numbers are going to trend your way. So special teams is huge. There's depth. Sometimes it's what guys have done in college, but a lot of times a lot of players that make it to the NFL didn't play a bunch of special teams in college. So it's going to be – but once you get in that room and you say, all right, I'm not a starting safety, I'm not a starting corner, I'm not a starting tight end, like, I got to find my way to make this 53. Special teams is that way for a lot of people. So and the punter, they have their pro days and they have their things like that. We had a great weapon with Pat McAfee as a punter. We knew it was a defense. If Pat was going to pin him inside the 10, 15, that's great odds for us. If he could make an onside kick, which he did great for some years, that's going to steal a few possessions. So special teams are huge, man. Huge.
Yeah, no question. No question.
But yeah, I guess to answer the question, where and how they can improve on special teams, continue to draft well, continue to have depth, because like I said, those guys are going to do whatever it takes to make the team. Oh, man, it's a good question. You can answer that. Oh, yeah, Terrell Davis did. He made his name on special teams, too. Rob Mathis.
Robert Mathis.
Yeah. We had him on the show, Man and Man alum. He talked about his grind from special teams. I think he was a fifth-round pick, right? Coming in, so
fifth round, yep.
So yeah, you can answer this one first. I'm gonna swap this thing out real quick, AB.
If a team hired either of you to be a defensive coordinator, what scheme would y'all use? Again, I've seen it, both ways. Where if I'm a defensive coordinator, I gotta know what I'm coming into, right? So I gotta look at my talent on my roster, right? Whereas typically a defensive coordinator comes in with a scheme that he has in mind. This is what I'm using. This is what I've been groomed to do. Whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4, whether it's based off of zone coverages, or it's majority man. For me, if I had the talent that I wanted, or that I needed, it would be 3-4. I would run a 3-4 defense, five zones, And cover four will be my two main coverages that I would lean on. So that would be me. And again, with the 3-4, you can mix it up a lot of different ways. You can get a quarterback to a lot of different looks. Again, dependent on having that personnel to be able to do what I wanted to do. Obviously, pressure. Granted, if I could press you with four, that's what I would do. But, you know, obviously sending some five-man pressures, six-man pressures at times. Again, five zone, you damn near playing like man. So basically having some guys on the outside that can match up with the receivers, not too long. Again, as we all know, coverage and rush goes hand to hand. So I think that would definitely be my goal: 2-3-4, five zone, sprinkling a little bit of cover four, and let my dogs go eat. That's me, baby.
And my camera tripping right now. There it go. Yeah, I mean, like you said, you kind of depends on who you got out there. I'm a fan of the 4-3 though. I'm a fan of the 4-3. 3-4s are tough though, because you kind of never know where that fourth or fifth rusher is coming from, especially if you incorporate fire zones. But I would probably be more of a 4-3 guy. And I would, you know, gotta have a similar to what the Colts run. And I'll mix up, you know, depending on who I'm playing, sprinkle in some man, more man, but have guys who know exactly what the hell they're doing, who do the same drops over and over and over again, the same rushes, the same calls, the same positions, communicating with the same positions, right? If I'm the linebacker, I'm always communicating with the same guys, so we're always on the same page. That'll eliminate mistakes. So I'll have a simplified scheme, right? I'll be one of those teams where you walk into the building, you know what you're getting. You know what I mean? You know, okay, we're getting this from this defense, but you also know that we're going to execute at a high level. And then obviously more than anything, you got to have the players athletically that can handle it, and then mentally that can handle it. Because if you're running the same thing, it's going to be every coverage, every play is little nuances, ends, little adjustments that can be made. So having smart, intelligent players out there that can unfold and unwind some things on their own makes all the difference in the world on that next level. So I'll have a simplified, mostly zone scheme, four-man rush, mixing in some five-man pressures and some man-to-man here and there. But I want ball production, and I want guys getting to their spots, rallying, tackling, and, limiting bad matchups. So that's for me. That's for me. Styles of ways to get a cat.
Exactly. But I think with everything, though, I think the main thing that people said is about your personnel, Because even with the 4-3, if you don't have the personnel up front to be able to get to that quarterback, it could be rough. And then again with the 3-4, if you don't have the personnel that's able to, sometimes the outside linebacker gonna have to drop in the coverage. So if you don't have that personnel to be able to do that, regardless of what you want, it can be tough.
That's a fact. Chris, shout out to Chris, Black Techie, SMS Go. I'm curious to hear both of your thoughts about Teddy. With all that's going on in Carolina, what is best for him? We kind of touched on that, was that last episode? Because I personally didn't think the Panthers made an upgrade. Yeah, I didn't think they made an upgrade going with Sam Darnold over Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy played well last year. Robbie Anderson had his best numbers. He didn't have C-Mac behind him, dealt with some injuries himself, but they were productive as an offense with a first-year coordinator, with a first-year head coach. They were productive, not great by any stretch, but I don't think Sam Darnold was that much of an upgrade from him. I can look back and be wrong. I just don't think that personally. Right now, I don't think Teddy has a bunch of leverage. I think they did give him and his agent permission to seek a trade. So if he does find a better situation for himself, I hope he does that. But he got some bread, so I'm happy about that. But I think Teddy can still be a good starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, now I was surprised by the move by the Panthers bringing in Sam Darnold. I didn't see that coming. But again, like you said, we talked about it in the previous show. I think he's in a tough spot right now, just being like where we at in the offseason. Obviously, you know, the teams that's looking for a quarterback, I'm pretty sure they're probably looking to the draft right now. So, again, it's one of them things where, you know, it's where business come into play. Got to bite that bullet, continue to do it, do what he's been doing. Just work hard and wait for that opportunity. When that opportunity does come, I know he'll be ready. Seems like a pro's pro. So,
yep. You know, so Teddy two gloves. So,
yeah.
I'll be ready. I think he will be, man. I think he will be. While we're talking about quarterbacks, obviously, you know, some I don't think we've spoke on it on the show, at least, with the Deshaun Watson, the allegations, the I think it's up to 22 now. And obviously that's, you know, those are serious allegations. You know, not knowing the full details, the full scope of it. You know, gonna let the legal process play out. Obviously, you know, everything I heard about Deshaun from the people that I know that know him, that, you know, was surprised when I first heard that. I'm like, damn, I, you know, that's hard to believe, but we definitely gonna let it, I'm gonna let the process play out. Yeah, I would have never thought something like that. Hopefully, you know, hopefully, obviously, number one, it doesn't happen, it didn't happen, and but if it did, you know, you gotta let the process, you know, take
do what's right.
Got to do what's right, regardless of who you are. You saw Nike suspended its partnership. I don't think they ended it, but suspended it with Deshaun. Beats by Dre dropped them as a sponsor. I believe they're all civil suits up until this point, right? Or is it any criminal?
I think it's one. I think it's one criminal.
Okay, one criminal.
I
so
think it's one criminal, you know, but the one, yeah. The one criminal though isn't represented by the lawyer that had all the civil suits.
Okay, it's not so that's the Busby guy. All right, so yeah, we're gonna you know let it play out. It, you know, it's some crazy shit, man. Once again, hopefully it did not happen, but obviously the process and the fact will come to light, hopefully, and you know, got to do what's right.
Yeah.
Do what's right. I'll tell you one thing, though. All them damn, I can't. He got
so many masseuses.
Sheesh.
Yeah, because I
probably had what, 5, 10 max.
I probably had 10 max throughout my 14-year career.
That's what I'm saying. Because usually, once you find one. I know for me at least, once I found somebody that I like that, you know, did the job right, like, it, you know, I didn't want to leave that person, you know, I usually have somebody at home and it has somebody in the city I was playing at.
And you might have a second massage therapist just being on schedule sometimes, you know, where your masseuse is like, look, something came up, or, you know, you might need to get a massage on a day that you normally wasn't scheduled for. You know, my thing was like, you know, I was getting a massage Monday right after the game, and then I was getting a flush on Friday, right? So I'm telling my masseuse, like, look, these are my days. I need you to lock me in at these times, right? But it could have been a Wednesday where, you know, I might need something. And, you know, my masseuse, like, look, you know, AB, I'm locked up Wednesdays. I already got guys, you know, scheduled in. So, you know, I might have a backup plan. Like, look,
I guess somebody else
is in. But that was the first thing that kind of popped in my mind. It's just like, wow, that's a lot of massage therapists. But again, you know, everybody's different too. You know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody moves different. Everybody's schedule is different. So, again, like you said, man, you let the process deal with that. And, you know, I think we'll probably touch on this topic when more information comes out.
Yeah, man. Got to. Are you guys talking about Gerber? What you talking about, Pepe? Hey, somebody just said something. Shout out Manscaped. You know what I mean? Y'all go get right 20% off.
Yeah.
Free shipping. You know what I mean? We're gonna tell y'all that every time. Code man, two man with the number two. Once again, let me know. Let me know if y'all got right, man. Yep.
Get right for sure.
But yeah, man. What else we got? Anything else? What time? Oh, it's that time. Probably got time for one more question. We sneak one more here.
Then I'm gonna put my feet in this sand, baby.
Go ahead, soak them bunions, cuz. You see what we got. Matt Jones goes three. You know what? I got a question for you since I don't see any pop up. So we talking about the quarterbacks coming off the board, possibly 1 through 4. Who do you think should be the first non-quarterback off the board?
Man, well, you can go. Man, that Kyle Pitts, man. Depending on the team, you know, you might have to go.
Let's say you're the Bengals.
Offensive tackle.
You're the Cincinnati Bengals. At 5, if the 1 through 4 stay in place.
No, I gotta go offensive tackle.
You gotta go out of Oregon.
I gotta go offensive tackle. Oregon, okay. I feel the same way. I gotta go offensive tackle.
The Bengals.
My young quarterback. Yeah, you gotta stay upright. You know what I mean? You gotta keep him upright. So I gotta go offensive tackle.
Now, if you're, if they don't go 1 through 4, the quarterback, and you are the Falcons at 4, you take a quarterback of the future, or you take a Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, imagine with Julio really. Ooh, that'd be ugly.
I won't go Chase. I won't go Chase just because of, you know, you got Julio. You got Calvin really. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't see that. I would get ready for the future. I'll go quarterback.
Quarterback. Now this is a spot where I would feel more comfortable with a Mac Jones still high for me for Mac Jones, but at least you know you got Matt Ryan there at least for another year or two. Trey Lance, even, you know, young guy right. Who's gonna need, you know, time to you know, for that learning curve, which they all do. So yeah, I can see quarterback for the future. It'd be hard for me to pass up Pitts though, honestly. And especially at 6 with the Dolphins. I hope he falls to us.
Nah, I feel you.
Get him out there. Because he an instant mismatch. And he's gonna be lined up once again across from
instant.
You know, yeah, he's gonna be lined up across from safeties and linebackers and Chase. Once he comes in the lead, Devontae Smith, once they come in the lead, they're lined up against the other team's best cover guy more times than not. Pitts, you're gonna be lined up on that team's third, fourth, fifth best cover guy. So walking mismatch, his length, his athleticism.
I seen somebody talking about Pitts to Arizona. I don't know where they pick at.
Yeah, not high enough.
They're not high enough. Yeah, but I was just thinking about that. I'm like, oh, that would be a problem.
Piss anywhere would be a problem, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, like that's it's an instant.
What you looking for?
That's instant production at the tight end position.
Instant, absolutely instant. But appreciate y'all, man.
Enjoy
your vacation, man. You know, slow down on them Shirley Temples and Arnold Palmers.
No, man, I need to slow down.
We'll see y'all Monday.
Man, y'all be good. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. We out of here.